Okay. Hi, everyone. I'm Ahava Shira, writer, mentor, and lover of language and words and what they can do for us. And I'm so excited to be here with a friend, but also a student of mine who I've had the privilege and joy of working with for a number of years, Kira Chamberlain. Hi, Kira.
Hi, Ahava.
Thank you so much for being willing to be here with me and talk a little bit about your experience of working with me, with writing and writing alone together and Woman in Mirror. And so I want to give people a chance to hear it from actual people who have worked with me and how does it feel? And so the first question I want to ask you is, what drew you or how did you start writing with me?
Well, I'm thinking about how sometimes on Salt Spring Island, these serendipitous things happen. And in 2015, somebody, my hairdresser, gave me your book. And
I have it here. I'm going to do a little flash. Yeah. What she's talking about is writing alone together.
Yeah. I think just as she was cutting my hair, we were talking and I'd been talking to her about how writing had been important to me. And she produced this book and suggested that I read it and perhaps seek you out. And I was really excited about the idea, about taking up my writing practice again and informing a community around it again. And I don't know the time span from when I received the books and when we connected, but I remember sitting in Cafe Talia and I probably had my journal. I probably had my book, my copy of the book, probably had some pens and just seeing you at one of the tables across from me and making the brave choice to say hi, to connect with you and show you that I had the book. And I think from there, we quickly started writing together weekly at Cafe Talia. And the anchor point of you, of this group, of being in a public place together, doing this kind of private thing, really became an unbelievably important part of my life and my and helping me move and shift some things in my life that became really important to me to have.
So you said that to come back to writing again, so you had written before. What was your experience with writing before?
I think I was one of the teenagers who always had a journal. When I was a kid, writing is something that maybe I noticed came a little easier to me or I enjoyed it. It was something I guess I was told by adults I was good at. And when I was a teenager, I had this group of friends at the beginning of high school and we were the like quirky creative kids and we all had journals. And it was a really big part of how we communicated and we're kind of in culture with each other at high school. So our books would go back and forth. We would write poetry to each other. And it was really, it was this really communal experience of writing. That only now that I'm thinking about it was kind of unique.
So what happened to it?
My mother happened to it.
Bless my mother.
That's not true. That's part of it. I conflict with my mom, her discovering my journal and reading it and just feeling, I don't know, maybe feeling like the power of what was in those words and in that book and how vulnerable or kind of scary it became when somebody's eyes came on it that I didn't want on it. And my mom read my journal and my teenage self decided the solution was to tear them up in front of her and not write for years and years.
Well, it sounds, like a really hard thing for you, I'm sure, at the time, because it sounds like it was a community and a sense of shared connection with peers. And unfortunately, I don't think you're alone in that experience. A lot of people in various different contexts may write when they are younger, and then different things happen, whether it is a violation of somebody reading their journal, or something happens and they abandon it, or a teacher maybe. I've heard recently, actually, I just heard someone say, and she's not the first person, that a teacher told her you would never write, or you'd never be very good, and she just dropped the whole thing. And
yeah, like, we believe them.
Yeah.
And we step further away from ourselves and who we are.
Yeah. Yeah. So I imagine that, the courage that, you leaned over, because I think we were just on the table, like right beside each other, and said, hey, I have your book and I want to, and I had just thinking, what's really incredible is I had been thinking, I was doing a year long program at the time. I had students, and I was also thinking, wouldn't it be cool to bring this to the cafe? They had a back room there, so it wasn't totally visible, but we could, the vision was tucking in there and then having this, group where we could write together, and a group of women. And so really, I love the serendipity and also the synchronicity, the sense of like you needing something and I wanting something and wanting to create something. And it was that sharing that was so beautiful, and I was excited to give, and you needed and wanted to receive it and also be a part of that. And it was so rich.
And that just, I feel like that's just continued to shape our relationship. It feels like us coming together with mutual excitement. And so that's, and it's been over 7 years.
Yeah.
That we've written together.
Yes, it has. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, for a while there, I was doing the work with Homewords, and you were part of the training with Homewords. So I was teaching community members and then teachers and counselors how to facilitate Writing Alone Together for their clients and students. And Kira was a part of it, which is incredible. And then you started to also facilitate your own groups, which was amazing. And then you got to experience that. And what was that like for you?
Oh man, just this incredible confirmation over and over again that what we're doing is healing, powerful work. Like, to sit in a circle with other humans and to write in a way where you're not worrying about the words you're using or your spelling or your grammar or punctuation. Like, there's no kind of technical skills being called upon, just like the permission to just write anything and share it in a group of people. It's an incredible opportunity to be seen and heard by people who are curious and open.
You can gush. It's okay.
I'm feeling myself gush, and I'm not comfortable with it. Losing words. It's almost an experience you can't really find words for. It's like you have to have the experience of sitting in a circle and reading the words you've just written, and you haven't even reread them. You don't know what's going to come out of your mouth, and just trusting that it'll be okay. And however, you have this ability just to create a space where everything is okay. I'm myself, I'm perfectionist, I'm so good at judging myself, but you, with you and under your direction and in the spaces you create, I know it's okay, whatever comes out of me. And I don't think we have many places in the world or in our lives where we get that permission to just whatever comes out of us is okay. And in that okayness, it's also celebrated and reflected back to us. And then having the opportunity to be with other people having that experience and being able to It's just, it's magic. It's ritual. It's where we heal. So then having that opportunity to learn facilitation from you and sort of the confidence to take on my own groups, I just, this is what I want to keep doing. I want to keep drawing people to their bodies, to their journals, to their words.
Well, then I don't have to ask the question of, well, what next, what now? Well, only in the sense of, okay, well, I'll ask it anyways. So what you've been doing this for, I guess we've been working on and off together for about 7 years. Mm-hmm. And if you ever get a chance to be in a circle with Kira, I'd say, you know, with, she's a, a tremendous writer, incredibly articulate and imaginative and honest and deeply introspective and insightful in the way that she talks about her life. So actually, I do want to know, like, okay, where you want to take your words. And but right before that, I want to say, what has been the transformation with your words in doing this kind of work? What comes to you when I ask you that question?
What comes to me is that, and I don't know what this means, but it's, so a couple of days ago, I went back to read that first entry I wrote with you on our very first session of writing alone together. So what I'm thinking about is how the words haven't really changed. And it, of course, is me who's changed in that 7 years. So reading that entry and finding already the themes and the ideas and the stories there that I'm still writing about today was super interesting. I don't think it had occurred to me that I had already started 7 years ago to write about my relationship with my body, with my breathing, with my mothering. And it was sweet and validating and super interesting to see those stories and themes already there. Mm-hmm. 7 years ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know for myself too, that sense of, you know, when I reach into journals from, you know, whether 10 or 20 years, and I can actually say 30 years and more, mm-hmm. To recognize the themes that are continuing to emerge and that were there then. And I think that we can trust, there's something about the writing that we can trust that it will give us the space to work with the material of our lives in a sense. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And we keep working with it in different ways because we don't go deeper and understand ourselves and find new and juicy ways to articulate what we're trying to say. And then, of course, our lives change. And then we need new ways to talk about those changes. Mm-hmm. And we change and we need new ways to talk about our changes. Yeah.
I think it also showed me that, and what being in a group with other writers keeps showing me is that we all have different topics and stories we're active to, and they're all different and our voices are all a little bit different. And I'm a writer who talks about the experience of the body, or and not everybody does that. Or I'm a writer who, I don't even know what words to say, but just that, these issues, these themes, these are mine. And they've been taking up space in my brain and in my body and in my journals, my piles of journals for years.
Right. I really love that, because I think one thing that happens for people who might be considering entering into the writing process or into a group would be, well, what if what I have to say doesn't really matter? Or what if my themes are not, they're not that important, or I don't sound so good? And so I think what you're saying is affirming that we each have different themes, and that's more than okay. That's, you know, that's human, because we are different and we do resonate with each other's themes. And it's sometimes we don't have the words for things that someone else has the words for, and we get to hear them and go, oh, right, yes. Yeah. Or we don't know an experience. You know, I, as actually as someone who is not a parent, I have a lot of parents in my, you know, a lot of mothers in my groups. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't make what it does is it makes it so rich for me. I mean, I have a mother, I care for people, I mother in many ways, but I also learn so much about myself, about my own relationship with my mother, and about what it means to be a mother at this, you know, at this time. And and it's so rewarding and so enriching and enlivening. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow.
It is.
It is. Yeah. Well, I know we're, so is there anything that you think somebody who would be thinking about this and not be sure, is there anything that you would say to them about, dipping their feet in, that maybe they're hesitant, not sure?
Well, I think, I think if somebody's listening to this and it's sparked a curiosity, or it's created a thought, or a thought's arisen that, like, oh, I used to write, or oh, sometimes I'm a writer. Like, if not everybody has those feelings, right? So if it's something that's kind of like tickling or awakening in you, then I would encourage you to see what happens if you follow it. Because not everybody will have the desire to follow it. So that you are is something, right? And it isn't about writing. We don't sit down in a group with the intention of creating genius works of literature. That's not why we're here. It's about creating spaces where we connect in community and with each other and with ourselves. And we all need more of those spaces. The world needs more of those spaces. Let's make more of those spaces.
That's beautiful. Thank you, Kira. And what about those genius words, though? Can we have those too?
Oh, sure. There's space for those too.
Sometimes I've just, yeah, I like that. I was going to say, sometimes I describe it as a space for everything, you know, like you said, you know, that there is this invitation, and that's my job and my pleasure. And, you know, it comes out of my own need for it, right? My own learning how to create that space for myself, because I had stories that I needed to tell. I had experiences that I needed to process and heal from. And I owe it to the writing and the journal and the inner space of permission that I created for myself to be able to do that. And of course, teachers and mentors that guided me and supported me and created those unconditionally loving places. And so those were so valuable to me and so generative that's why I do what I do, is because I know the beauty and the benefit and the joy and the, like you said, magic and sacredness of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm so grateful that I get to witness you doing those things, because then it gives me them, like, oh, here's a woman who, like, just sits down and closes her eyes and sighs. Like, here's a woman who is embodied, who's giving her space just a moment, even like in a group of people, which then like gives me permission to give my body just a moment to arrive and be okay in a room and in a group. I really appreciate that aspect of your facilitating and mentoring. Yeah, and how it then lets me kind of try on those those things you do that bring yourself to your body, into your heart, into presence. That's a big part of it for me.
Well, thank you, Kira. Thank you for that reflection. And yeah, there, here I go again. My eyes close.
So my eyes can also close. Thank you.
So I'll tell this like 30-second, I'll try story. Mm-hmm. When I was defending my PhD thesis, my supervisor watched me, of course, and Gregory was there and I had some friends. And afterwards, like this, like a 3-hour major, you know, you've got like three tiers of like academics who are like watching you, whatever, a whole committee, like, a boardroom, etc. Anyways, I go out to my supervisor at the end and I say, you know, so Carl, you know, how was it and everything? Blessed Carl Lego. And he's like, you were authentically Ahava, he said. We asked you a question, you closed your eyes. You kind of like did something with your fingers and you said, I'm hearing that. And I said, what? I did that in my PhD defense. And he's like, yeah. And it was brilliant. He's some students, they kind of like, oh, I'm at this, I have to be a certain way. You were just you. Like, oh no, oh yes, okay.
But to be authentically Ahava and then have it accepted and celebrated, and yeah, letting me try on being authentically Kira. Beautiful.
Yes, exactly. Beautiful. And that is definitely intentional. Like my intention is to allow you to be authentically you, and allow every person who sits, every woman, every writer who sits in the circle to be authentically themselves and know that that authentic self is loved and valued and cared for and will be heard and seen and known and has as much right to be there and permission to explore and dive in and talk about the most joyful and the most painful, and all be held inside the container of the circle. Yeah. Yay. All right, Kira, thank you so much.
Thank you.
For being you and for being willing to be here and talk to me about it. And I'm sure that this will be very helpful for folks who are thinking about it and maybe not sure. So thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Ahava.
You're so welcome.